Lime, duh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello.
Whoa, whoa. Woo!
Shit.
Woo!
Stupid!
Oh, okay,
stupid,
Randy.
Stupid.
Wow. Relax, Andy.
Welcome to the Comedians Wrestling Podcast, a podcast where comedians that dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host, the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, the book. A.K.A. Dunsky Blackamora, A.K.A. Papa Alt Milk, A.K.A. the King of Iron Fist Hawaii, A.K.A. the modern day goof and spoof Raja, A.K.A. I just got vaccinated and I have no energy right now. I am truly dying. Ugh. Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby, gabba, gabba, wee.
Gabba, gabba, wee, yeah. Gabba, gabba, gay, gabba, 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 gabba,
yeah,
gay.
Gabba, this girl, she's mine.
There's a lot of beef out here.
And hup, hup, hup.
Two big meat sandwiches collided, splat!
I'm going to tear the living shit out of you.
Oh, you didn't know?
And damn, she's fine. What up, Jabroniacs? We're back in action, coming off a big WrestleMania 37 weekend, a real surprising WrestleMania weekend. I don't remember. Where am I at on the thing? Man, this vaccine fucked me up, folks.
Just say, damn, she's fine.
And damn, she's fine. What up, everybody? Okay. Now, he's here. I need help immediately. He's here. What up, the nasty one, Nasty Newman Hagen in the house.
How about it, Dan? For once, I'll have your back.
You going to answer questions today?
Sure.
Wow. That's a huge occasion for everybody. He's back post-WrestleMania feeling questionable. Is that what that means? Questionable? Does that make sense? And she's here, the First Lady of Cow, Erin Finnerty.
Oh, what up, Dan? How are you today?
What up? I'm not well. Yeah, got Moderna, shot one. By the way, I encourage you to get vaccinated, especially if you're going to be around vulnerable populations, folks. You're going to be traveling. I had COVID, as you guys know, back in December, and they say you get hit real hard with the vaccine if you had COVID. You know, you get reward. You know, it's the gift that keeps on giving people. That's good. Okay. Anyway, all right. I got a lot to talk about. We'll talk about Raw. We'll talk about all things WrestleMania 37. Quick here, a lot to talk about. I have some thoughts. Nice. I've been marinating on WrestleMania. Actually, went back and watched a bunch of WrestleMania because I'm frankly a pro, as many would say. But I would just like to acknowledge, acknowledge the Tribal Chief, which I will do after what I say right now. Roman Reigns, but I would like to discuss Calmania 3 quickly just to say that if you haven't watched the events of Calmania 3, head over to the Comedians Wrestling Podcast YouTube page. You can watch for free right now the replay of me versus Jason Shapiro in Hawaii. Make sure you spread it. Look, you know, if you haven't seen it yet, I won't spoil it, but I'll let you know that, there's no way to not really spoil it. It's a roller coaster ride, and I'm still processing. I have a lot of emotions surrounding it and kind of where I go from here and whatnot. But right now it's not about me. You know, it's about the people who make Calmania happen. You know, we got the smooth operator, Phil Paspani, who performed the edit. You know, the way these matches work, the raw footage gets over to our director all the way. We have a satellite. It goes up to the satellite, the live footage. It gets directed to him in Long Island. He's cutting to different angles live, just like Raw, you know? And so great work by him. And while I disagree with a lot of his antics, Sal Eliazzo was behind the camera for a lot of that. There's some incredible work done by even some questionable cats. But ultimately, yes, I'll just say it. Your champion is still Jason Shapiro. The cow title is out in Hawaii. But I encourage you to go watch it. Tell people, spread the word of how this went down, because as expected, as I told you, that was not a clean fight. Would you say, guys?
No, very dirty, dirtier than the sheets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was prepared for anything this guy threw at me. Luckily, I sewed an extra pocket into my trunks, so I was ready for a lot of things. But listen, whatever. You'll see the match. So go over there and spread it. Subscribe to our YouTube page. Obviously, become a patron, patreon.com/meanswrestling. You know that. Get access to our Discord server. Get our new sticker. But right now, go. If you haven't seen Kyle Mania 3, go watch Kyle Mania 3. Yeah. All right. Now, great. Let's just talk about all things WrestleMania and where we're at coming after this Raw. So WrestleMania, interesting, man. Interesting. We all had no expectations. I said this is the sloppiest built WrestleMania. I still stand by it, you know? So I still stand by. I mean, do you guys agree with me there? I mean, in the most, you know, in recent WrestleManias, we've been doing the pod during it. How you got, you think there was one that had less... I don't know, less big fight feel, a little, you know?
I mean, I just wasn't looking forward to it that much.
Right.
It definitely does seem like there was less, like, stakes going into, like, a lot of the matches where it was just sort of, like, it had the real potential to just be, like, an 8-hour episode of Raw. But I think they avoided that pretty well.
Right, and so I feel like it was kind of amazing because right from the start, the rain delay didn't bother me. I mean, there was a lot of hullabaloo about the rain delay. It's like, what's a rain delay? Who gives a shit? Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So then they did some interviews and they pivoted. It's live. It's a live event, which is dope. I don't know. Again, it's kind of similar to the AEW fireworks thing, you know?
Right.
It's like you guys, I just feel like wrestling Twitter is always like jumping down the throats of anything going wrong, and it's just like, what are we talking about? This is like a, I don't know, $50 million event, and it's anyway, so they waited for a little rain. Anyway, so the match, so I felt like once the event started, they went balls to the wall with the setup this year. And again, like all great manias, like why we were so excited to go to Tampa last year is because, look, let's be honest. Some of these towns that are maybe the lesser popular towns, I don't know. Is that insulting? I don't know how to say it. But they're the less, you know, the less marquee towns, like the New Yorks, you know, those towns, they tend to be more spread out. You know what I mean? They tend to be more. So, you know, your Dallas's, your even you're like, New Orleans is pretty good, but it's even more spread out from mine. There's a beauty in like Tampa, Orlando. They're small. They're compact. And so WrestleMania is able to fully take over these towns. And so like, well, that's why I was so bummed to not go to Tampa the past 2 years. But because also they have these open stadiums. Like Raymond James Stadium was just wide open, and they really used the airspace on here. Because once this show kicked off, the entranceway was insane. That whole pirate ship was huge. I mean, it looked so
that was really cool, massive.
You know what I mean? It looked like, and upon rewatch also, you're just like, man, if somebody turned this on, they're like, wow, WrestleMania is just is so high production level, you know? And it's fun. It feels so big. You know, and so I felt that right away. Vince came out, had the entire roster lined up, and then he was like, hey, welcome back to WrestleMania. Now, we did go right back to the Thunderdome on Monday, which was odd.
yeah, the next day.
Yeah, and that was like, oh, well, but welcomed everybody back. But you felt like the emotion of being back there, and it was cool. That all being said, you could see all the... I mean, those masks. Were any masks around mouths?
No.
No, right?
A lot of masks under the noses. Yeah. A lot of masks hanging from the ears, below the chin. Like,
if there was a mask at all.
Not only that, but I mean, like, what good is a mask when you're packed into the first five rows like that? Like, no difference.
Right. Yeah, so anyway, whatever. We don't need to get into that on this, but... A couple things about the production value was I thought the pyro was the best pyro I remember in WrestleMania history, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I don't remember pyro this good and this consistently good throughout the show. Am I wrong? I mean, I don't know.
It was good. And there was a lot of fireworks, which is always a nice touch. Like,
well, I count that as pyro.
Well, yeah. Well, that's pyro in the sky. So
the last time we had like really memorable shots Like, I think about shots, like mania moment shots, yeah. right? Was also Orlando. It was Roman Reigns after he beat I can't even lift my arm because this fucking Moderna shot. But like when he went like this, ow. When he did that.
That's what Roman did.
The pyro in the sky. Uh-huh. And he was wearing this vest. You know what I mean? That shot, if you, I'll gif it all the time.
Ooh,
Yeah, like Moderna. He's like, oh, man.
He's rubbing his shoulder. He's like, oh, God.
I Moderna'd my strong hand. You know, so anyway, like there's a beauty in when you have open skies where you can hit the, you can get pyro up in the air, fireworks, and you can shoot from that low angle, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just so fucking awesome. It never gets old. So I specifically rewatched Edge's entrance because I was like, why was I not feeling Edge's entrance as much? Now, two things. One thing, the music was way too low for Edge's entrance. This is the shit I care about at Manias, by the way. I just want to point that out. The music, if you go, because I was like, oh, maybe it was just because I was watching in the with the listeners in the Thunderdome, and I was like, maybe they were just talking over it. No, the mix of that was like, you got to crank his tunes, that song.
Yeah,
you know?
I noticed there wasn't like the "You Think You Know." I couldn't hear "You Think You Know Me."
Yeah,
and I had to like listen real good to hear on this day.
And also, I know they're always trying to save time, so they try to like do entrances shorter to like save time. No, you got to. No.
Give it the time.
No, I need to pan the crowd.
Save time. It's a 6-hour show. Why are we saving time?
Cut wrestling moves. I don't care about the wrestling part. Cut wrestling moves. They're like, they pan to, they pan. Like, I want to see that in the Attitude Era. They never, ever, ever did that. You'd pan the crowd and then you'd go, oh, and everyone's just like, hey, what's going on here? Blah, blah, blah. And then it goes, if you smell. And everyone's like, ah. Because they, right? You peak and valley it, right? You know? Mm-hmm. This was like Daniel Bryan got to the ring, did a couple yes chants. You think you know me? It was like, you think you know me? And I was like, come on. Now, that being said, Edge's gear was sick. I think Edge had the most fire gear, but we'll go through gear. We'll go through the frosting of WrestleMania because it's beautiful to do. But Edge's white gear was like, I don't know. He looked incredible to me. Such a hot
really
dude.
Cool. Love white.
Someone wrote me a message, and I think this is where I'm headed in terms of my brand. Someone wrote me a message today. I forget who it was. Sorry about that. But they wrote me a message saying, they said, I'm going to say it. You guys, he's like, I'm going to say it. I don't like Edge's wet hair. Like, I love that people feel the need to tell me this. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like if I want to talk about like the texture, the moisture level of someone's hair, like who's going to care? Dan Black, obviously.
I love the
what flavor.
What
lime, duh. I'm just going to see if this will make me feel any better.
I got a watermelon lime.
But so I watched the Edge's pyro back, and Edge's pyro, he puts the hands up, he does, you know, and then they just go up into the sky, and they just, he had his normal pyro, which was obviously elevated times like 1,000, and then they show just fireworks up in the sky, and you're like, whoa, this is amazing. You know, you're like, this 47 year old man, triple neck fusions, gets to come out and do this. But that being said, I stand by my criticism of Daniel Bryan in the match. Even after seeing the match, which was a good match, I still don't think we needed it. And more importantly, what I said on the podcast is that the yes chants were so not over. I rewatched it. He was not getting yes chants. Like, they were obligatory yes chants. People were not fired up about Daniel Bryan. And this is the danger when you shoehorn a wrestle into a mania, you know? They right. went ape shit for Edge. They went insane for him. So, now that all being said, let's discuss the Tribal Chief. I feel like I was wrong about two things, and I said it in the Emilio podcast, by the way. You can listen to it now. I had Emilio Sparks on the pod on Monday night or Tuesday morning, whatever. And I was like, yo, Daniel Bryan's there to eat a pin. We were all kind of talking like that. No one ever brought up on the pod stacking bodies.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, it didn't even cross my mind, right?
No, I had no idea. I did not see that coming at all.
No. So, I mean, he put them both on top of each other, and you're like, oh. Oh, I'm fine with this. Yeah. I was just like, yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And then he had, like, I don't know. Honestly, he called it $1 million worth of pyro, and I believed him. I mean, the amount of pyro that Roman, he said it after. And I said it on the last pod, but I would like to officially, I said I would do it after WrestleMania. I would like to make Roman Reigns one of my guys officially.
Wow.
Wow, 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 wow. Big congratulations.
Now, thank you. Now,
what's going on there?
I thought about this.
Pyro misfire.
Yeah. I thought about this. What did I do?
It was
the
like weird.
Fireworks were choppy.
They're choppy for you?
You only had $5 worth of pyro.
Hold on. Oh, my cord was loose. Mm. This fucking Moderna. All right, anyway. how about still choppy?
Oh, there it is. There it is. There it is.
Okay, beautiful. It sounds good to me anyway. So a lot of reasons went into this, and we could talk about the match or whatever, but when it comes down to Roman Reigns, I had to think about it, which is like, I think there was a couple things I was wrong about with Roman Reigns, which was like, I kept being like, I don't like the, I was kind of getting caught up in like his outfit, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, he's wearing like military pants. I want him in the undies, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, then he walked out at Mania, and I was like, listen, do I prefer less clothing on a man?
Obviously.
The answer is obviously yes.
Mm-hmm.
But do I want him to dress up like Haku or whatever? Like, I don't think that would feel right. You know right. what I mean? Like, I thought about it, and I was like, no, he seems like this feels like what he looks like. He's so fucking jacked up. But the main reason that I'll make Roman Reigns one of my guys is that I feel like what he's doing right now is sustainable. I'm like, he feels like he's in a zone of like, he is this like cocky, arrogant, probably was like a all-state football player in high school or whatever, you know what I mean? And is like, yo, I'm the best wrestler on the roster. I deserve this spot. And you feel like, you feel like he's locked. You feel like he's totally locked in there. Couple factors. One factor is you stack both bodies for a pin at Mania. It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. You know what I mean? Like, just, it was just one of the coolest things. Now, is it kind of annoying that Jey Uso got involved? I don't hate it. It's fine. He's a heel, and it's okay. It's a little just bit like a little schmozzy for me for a main event of WrestleMania. Personally, I kind of feel like when you get to Mania, there's like this like you can do it, but they did it a little recklessly for me. Where I'm like, this is. Everyone kind of knows, like, this is you going into the, like, battle here, and you have to prove it yourself. Like, you wouldn't just interrupt just to help somebody. You know what I mean? Like, it would be like Roman would be like, yo, hold off. I'm going to go do my thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's just personal preference. But he looks like $1 million. He's had an absolutely killer run. And when I watched him at the end, the Watch Along, which is hosted by, I think, a Christian rock band, I don't know who you watch that at all. Watch Along.
No I idea didn't. Who those people are.
It's like three youth pastors. I don't know, and I don't know what their deal is. But they, you know what I mean.
Like
they
have the that WWE energy of like
life's good on blast. You know that whole routine. Yeah. You know?
This you're talking about on Peacock.
Yeah,
it's like a Watch Along.
Oh, it went
Roman
right into it.
Just stacked bodies, a lot like Jesus stacked loaves of bread and fish. Mm-hmm.
Well, they weren't doing that. They weren't saying that. But it just felt a vibe of like too much positivity for me. Where you're like, you have to also be, you know, there has to be a divine force to get this positive. You know what
right.
I mean? And so, which by the way, I'm not mocking. I'm just saying it's like you cut to these guys and they're just loving life. You know?
Yeah. Now,
anyway, which is I understand why they want that energy. You know what I mean? It could cut to us just being like, yo, I got a tweet in here. It says they don't like Edge's wet hair, and then Vince is like, I spend $3 million on pyro for that match, and you're talking about Edge's wet hair. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We'd be fired instantly, folks. So Roman, actually the audio was weird, but Roman was just talking right to camera during that from the top of the ramp, and the pyro was going, and he just was so fucking cool. You're like, this is just a cool ass motherfucker. Like a hot, cool, gorgeous dude. He's just like, and also hot, he's just like cool, cocky, gorgeous. But like almost, it's not even like heel really. It's more just like, yo, I'm the best. Like a LeBron vibe is what I feel. Right. That's what I was feeling. Like LeBron, like this is the best guy, whether you like him or not, you know? And he's always had that energy, which is like, I'm not like a good guy or bad guy. I'm like the guy or whatever. And I honestly think that's the zone he finally got into, where it's like, you cannot deny him, you know? When he's holding the title, the only thing you're thinking is, this title, this blue title looks dumb. And that's because you have no criticism of what he looks like, you know? I also really pop for his spears. I'm into. Feels like he does way less Superman punching.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Well, right? Which I'm glad. Yeah, I don't like that move at all.
Yeah. So anyway, the moment I'm talking about is then he looks into the camera like this, and he's like, I watched it like 5 million times in a row, and he's like, acknowledge me. Like that. And you're like, what a fucking delivery. It is so good.
Yeah.
It is so good. You're like, he actually has way more control as a performer than I believed. He comes off as fully that guy, and it makes me believe he's that guy. So anyway, I'm proud to make Roman Reigns one of my guys. I'm excited to see where he goes. I really don't know what is going on. I'm excited to watch SmackDown this week. And I didn't even realize both nights were headlined by SmackDown. Did you realize that?
No. Never even.
Because I never think about the brands or whatever, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So where are you guys at on Roman? How'd you feel about that main event, that title match? Anything, you know, I was just going. Moderna got me rambling, baby.
It's gone off that Moderna. I'm
sipping my Moderna.
I mean, he clearly has arrived, right? Like Roman Reigns
it's undeniable, right?
Is in a awesome spot. He's completely comfortable and it shows. And for the first time, he is kind of obviously like a guy that you can sort of build a company around, because I'm going to be interested in any match, any opponent that he has. Like, I want to see him go against everybody.
Yeah, and he's always kind of hit that guy to beat stat. Like, he's always felt like, I've always said that's the thing about him where I'm like, he does feel like the guy to beat. Like, and I know why Vince goes for him, but he was wearing the vest. You could tell he was in worse shape than some of his opponents. It irked me. Right. You know what I mean? Because it's like, if you're going to be the Cena, you know what I mean? Then you gotta Cena works because you're like, yo, I believe Cena is outworking all these guys, you know?
Right.
And Cena lives, Cena, one of the greats. But so, I totally.
They have a really cool opportunity too to like really kind of take this character to like the depths of despicability and have a moment where he does actually then make a choice, like to make the right choice and possibly flip him face. I'm not talking about in a year or two, right? Maybe like five, you know what I mean? Like a nice long time as like an evil dude, and get like a really nice emotional face turn out of it. Set up great.
Yeah. That's another point I thought about Roman, which is that I don't really see him as a heel that much. Like he's a heel over a baby face, right?
Right.
And Jay cheats, and he did that. He did a lot of heel shit, meaning like he had that match with Daniel Bryan after the Chamber. You know what I mean? But
right.
I also feel like when you're the best, you're the best, and just being the best leads to a lot of likability.
Right.
You know, so I feel like if he was feuding with a Drew McIntyre, let's say hypothetically, I don't even necessarily see it as like, everyone's going to love Drew over Roman. I really think as Roman continues to prove himself and find himself in there. And by the way, let's talk about finding himself. Another reason I made Roman Reigns one of my guys is that he didn't even fucking crutch on Heyman this whole year. I mean, if he took that mic, was cutting his own promos, Heyman almost said nothing.
Yeah.
You know? And his promos were good, you know? I just kind of believe he will naturally become a dude that like kids love, you know, without the vest, without the corniness.
Right. But I mean, that comes from like that. If they are able to pull it off, that is going to come from him you know, a history of just making selfish decision after selfish decision. And then finally, there's going to be a moment where he actually does like the right thing.
Yeah.
And it'll be great.
Yeah. I don't know where Daniel Bryan goes from here. This was like
home.
I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel Bryan retires like randomly. It's like, yo, I actually have like, I have to retire. And that's why they put him in or something.
Right.
Because he's in. I mean, Daniel Bryan, listen, I'm never going to underestimate Daniel Bryan. He's tremendous at this business. What a misfire this run was for him. You know, it didn't help him at all. Like,
yeah.
for going into next year, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would maybe like to see him because like we've talked about this before on the pod, but like the matches that he's in, I don't know about this last one, but when it's like a singles match, right. He's the one allegedly kind of calling the shots about how the match is going to go and like kind of the storytelling of the match. So I would maybe like to see him in that capacity, just focusing on that capacity and booking everybody's shit and figuring out how to make all of the matches compelling, you know?
We'll see. But if that is true, he put himself over a lot. he did win the Elimination Chamber. Then he
tapped
out Roman Reigns at Fastlane. And then he shoehorned himself into the main event, killing the entire heat of Roman Edge. Whatever. Right. I'm done talking about it. I think where we go with Edge here is that Edge losing makes me think that he's not really going anywhere.
Yeah.
But I think Edge, my guess is Edge is going to start wanting to just work with other talents. He's going to want a Rollins feud, maybe even a Cesaro feud or like, you know what I mean? I think he's going to want to start just like wrestling these guys who he's admired, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's what we'll see from Edge. But now we have heel Edge, which is very fun. So that's
Juice Edge. Man, his whole face, like those Andros fucking, they took hold. His face is warped and changed like instantly. You look at like when he first came back and now there's so much extra square footage on his face.
From what?
The steroids, yeah. Like his face is morphed in like months.
Well, he's 47. I mean, he looks fucking amazing.
Undoubtedly, right? But like the face has changed for sure.
Well, the HGH makes your bones move, right?
That's what
it makes your bones. Yeah. Well, it causes like that's bones why growth. Like Arnold has splits. A gap between his teeth. Like
that's why Glenn Jacobs has a gap between his teeth. Yeah,
because it expands your.
That's why Anna Paquin has a gap between her teeth.
Yeah, she juices. She
famous, juices. Famous for
famous
being
actress from The Affair.
Yeah.
All right. let's talk about Bianca. Favorite show. My one of my favorite shows. Let's talk about Bianca Sasha.
Match of the night for me.
Yeah.
Or match of the weekend for
match
me.
Match the weekend. Yeah.
Probably match of the weekend. People are saying that or Calmania, but.
Or like Bad Bunny.
Yeah, or Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny was. You know, there's always room for exactly what Bad Bunny did. Like, I don't even have that much to say about it. Like, but you're just kind of like, yeah, like, if you want to come in and you're a big star and you want to take this fucking dead serious and have these guys, you'll take some risks, but these guys will protect you. Then, like, it'll always get over. It's always. People always pop for, like, wow, he's not a wrestler, but he's doing it. And, you know, it was part of Ronda's whole appeal at first, and then she transcended that. But, like, her first match she had with Nia Jax was like, oh, shit, she can have a singles match. And then her first match with Kurt Angle and Stefan and Triple H stole WrestleMania 34. And you were like, wow, she can – oh, wow, she, like, is into this.
Yeah. So, it's even more amazing, though, with Bad Bunny because, like, when you take a step back and realize how big – of a star he is outside of wrestling to be doing this. Like, I can't even think of a parallel. Like, what other, like, if this were like the 90s, like, what singer, you know what I mean? Like, who would it be that, like, was doing this?
Well, it's just different because he's like a global sensation. Like, it's not just like, oh, Limp Bizkit,
right?
You know, like,
which, but hey, don't besmirch.
Listen, we've discussed Limp Bizkit and its merits, but Bad Bunny is like
right.
Yeah, I'm expecting Bad Bunny in a singles match next year. I think he comes back.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be even more famous, right?
Sasha, but back to like Sasha and Bianca,
Sasha
like,
and Malia. Yeah,
I knew that was going to be. I mean, I had high hopes for the match to begin with. I said it during the CalZoom Thunderdome. Like Bianca is in many ways a perfect opponent for Sasha and vice versa because of how strong Bianca is and how good of a seller Sasha is. And
They look like they might be like similar in size, but in reality, it's like Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, or something.
Oh, right,
like,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And so they can just, she can, it's such a safer environment to do cool shit because Bianca has that kind of control because she's so strong. And I knew it was, I mean, I had high hopes for it, but I knew it was going to be great when they both started getting emotional at the top of the match because, you know, from like an acting standpoint, right? Like they were like, unlike any other match I've seen before, they were in front of everybody able to connect with the emotion of the moment and then infuse that into their performance throughout the rest of the match.
Dude, 100% agree. Yeah. And this is another example of a place I was wrong. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was wrong. Like, I always give Sasha shit for crying, which sounds like I'm a real piece of shit.
Yeah,
you
know what how
I mean?
Dare you.
But I don't mean that she's emotional or whatever. I just mean like, yo, if you're trying to be a heel and then you start crying, it takes you out of it. But then these two, you're like, oh, well, is it bad to see people's passion for what they do and their moment? And then they both were hysterical crying before locking up. Like, they were both tearing up and being like, yo, let's do this. And you're like, it's one of the best WrestleMania moments I remember.
Easily.
Ever.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, it's so not manufactured. It's so authentic. And it was like, it was, I mean, there's nothing else to say. It was perfect wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like, perfect wrestling, when you're trying to explain to people why wrestling's so good, which I don't recommend you do. Even if you're dating, don't do it. Fuck them. Like, I know guys do it when they're dating new women, you know?
Right. No,
this
never.
Is when they do it the most. And you're like, just be like, I like it. Like, let it go. Mm-hmm. And then if they want to watch it, let it be their idea. But don't try to explain to them, like, why it's cool that Mick Foley came in the Rumble three times. You know what I mean? Like, don't try to, you know what I mean?
You don't
love that meme.
With that.
Yeah, that's my favorite one. You know, it's actually pretty cool. I think that's the line, is it's actually pretty cool. Yeah. Like, don't even bother, you know? Like, and like, not even that, like, I've had, like, people walk by the screen when I'm watching wrestling and then they just go like, I can't believe you like this shit. And I go, I just do. Like, I don't care. Fuck you. Right. I feel like it's their loss. I'm like, what are you watching? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I feel like if you can scroll, if you can like doom scroll through TikTok, you have nothing to fucking say to me about what I enjoy.
Doom scroll? Is that a term?
Where you're just like, despite how just horrible everything is, you just can't stop scrolling.
Yeah. So like, well, it's kind of hilarious because, like, I'm watching The Office now. I told you that, right? Like, from the beginning. So I'm on, like, season 6 of The Office right now. And I saw episodes here and there when it was out, but I was too pretentious about comedy to be, like, an Office guy. I told you this. But I'm watching it, and it is a great show. Like, it deserves the accolades people give it. Like, it's fucking hilarious. And the performance of Michael Scott is amazing. But when I watch Michael Scott, I'm like, there are wrestlers who have performed at this level in wrestling. And you won't understand it. You know what I mean? Like, you, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're
yeah.
like, you won't get, like, you know, like, and that's how deep my respect for wrestling is. It's like, no, don't expect anyone to understand that.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's your either, I don't know, like, how hard is it to get someone to go to zero to hero with wrestling? Not a kid, an adult. Weren't into it with a kid where they fully can watch like Shawn Michaels stomping before he's gonna super kick Rick, you know what I mean, at WrestleMania 25. I think it's 24, and you know what I mean, and like to get to there, how hard is that?
Near impossible, probably.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's
I mean,
what I'm saying.
There's
don't
gotta
bother
be,
don't bother
like if you're starting completely from scratch, that's like teaching like a semester. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I don't see that happening.
Well, I mean, even like when I started getting back into it in like 2016.
You're getting back in is always easy. Getting
right.
Back
but,
in is always easy.
But even that, it was like, it seemed like an insurmountable task.
It's muscle memory.
Totally.
Muscle memory.
To like,
who are the, what are the new wrestlers? What are the new feuds? What's going on? Why is this guy not like this guy? Like that. So even having like, of being a fan of wrestling lapsed and coming back into it is hard. That means it's even more impossible for somebody who's just not into it to start to pick it up where, you know, where it is.
Yeah, totally. But like, let's put it into perspective for you. These are huge men, but my parents have a son who they love me, and they've watched my obsession with wrestling my whole life. And even they don't get it still. Right. No, they don't fully get it. They get it, and they like it because I like it, but they've had every opportunity, you know what I mean? Like, 30-something years, you know, of me watching wrestling to be like, all right, I'm going to fully... My dad watched the whole Attitude Era with me and still is kind of like, well, still every once in a while I'll be like, this is so stupid. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're like, it's just not for everybody. It is what it is, you know? Anyway, that being said, the ultimate point we were making was Bianca Sasha, which is that, like, those are the moments that bring us back, no matter what. You know, like Mark Henry and Mae Young can give birth to a hand, and I'll always remember that, like, Bianca and Sasha will look each other in the eyes, hysterically cry, coming back, main eventing night one of WrestleMania, and the first time they've crowds in over a year, you know?
Right. And I mean, like, but to kind of, like, negate how impossible it is, that is sort of a perfect moment to show somebody, like, how cool this can be, you know, right? What I mean, like, it is, because it is such a human moment that, like, right, you'd have to be dead inside not to at least look at that and make, okay, like, I get why this is a big deal.
Right now, yeah, the match was incredible. I actually got to rewatch the match. I didn't rewatch it yet. I
Bianca pressing Sasha over her head and walking
up climbing up the stairs. That was crazy.
Sheffield in screen.
Oh, special appearance. Special
appearance. Yeah. I always think
looks
it's funny
like a
when
pile of feathers.
My dogs pop in speaks. They have no idea they're on camera. It's just always funny to me. But anyway, like,
and perfectly framed too.
He is coming at the shot. Anyway, so what's up, Chef? How you doing? Good?
Oh, he nodded. He's like, I'm good.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, I mean, listen, what's there to say about this match? It was sick. It was so sick. I was wrong about Sasha, Bianca. It would have been a mistake. Bianca needed to win. It would have been a mistake. I was wrong. I just always want to protect Sasha. I just want Sasha to get these big W's, but ultimately, if you look, what I didn't really take into account was that, like, Rhea's going to win also, which we knew. Bianca's going to win. I think we're going to have the best year of women's wrestling going into next. I think it's going to be the best year of women's wrestling like ever, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think they know it too, and that's why that Charlotte promo happened on Monday, kind of, where they're positioning Charlotte, where they're like, we're going to give other people a shot. We need Charlotte to be like the fucking specter of the women's division here. Like, we're like, it's this looming thing where it's like, you can think you're racking up wins and doing well, but like, there's an unbeatable force here, you know?
Yeah.
And it's Charlotte. And that promo was one of, maybe the best of Charlotte's career.
Charlotte is so great.
Yeah, she's
like
fantastic.
It can't
she's
be overstated.
She's a flair. She's living it up to it. It's amazing.
It can't be overstated how awesome she is.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I was talking to Phil, Smooth Operator Pesapane, in a game chat the other day. We were ripping a little Valheim, and we were just talking about how awesome she, like, how mouthy she's, the best.
Oh,
and
good for you.
It is good for me. It's good for everybody. The like, to the Flair point, how good she is at talking shit during beating somebody up. Like, like on Raw, when she's beating up Asuka and Rhea, and she's like, oh, did you get your confidence back? It's just like such next level subtle shit. It's the best. She's the best.
She really is. She is the best. And not to mention, like, Becky Lynch, who is actually the best in terms of the way I rank wrestling, which is like just overness. You know what I mean? Like, she's the Stone Cold of the women's division. And, like, when she comes back, people are going to lose their shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yes.
And not to mention, you also have Ronda, who will come back for something. I think women's wrestling is just, like, I'm so excited for it. Because
this is too, not to cut you off, but, like, this is, sorry to, like, I'm going to bring up real sports here for a second.
Oh, my God.
In 2008. When the Phillies won the World Series, it was it was such a moment, because, like, obviously they were such a great team, right? And
was that Ryan Howard was on the team?
Ryan Howard, Jay Shutley, yeah, Jimmy Rollins, Chooch. It was like all star team, right?
Were those all real names?
Yeah.
That all sounded like this.
Raul Mushmore.
Yeah, Raul Banez. Everybody, right? So
Donnie Capri.
Donnie Capri. But like you look at it, it's like, oh wow, what an amazing team. But what you have to also take into consideration is the build to that point, right? And with the women's division, obviously we're entering like this era of like the best women's wrestling in WWE ever, and it makes sense because you go back and look, and it's like it's been slow. It's been getting better and better and better and better and better, and now we're at the point where it's like all that work is now primed to just explode. So it's great now. It's been great for a couple years and building. So I'm just really excited about it.
Yeah, well, I think they're positioned. Sheffield's back, folks. But they're it's great to bring up your dog on a audio medium, although every podcast does it, right? They're like, oh, well, look who's here, Mr. Buttons. All right. Mr. Buttons. Every podcast does pet interruptions, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I really believe the women's division has gotten to a place where you're like, where for a while it was like, wow, they're really like competing with the men. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, they really matter. You know, like I'm saying it in a kind of condescending way, but like that's. But then I think this year will be like, I think they're headed for a year where you'll just be like, oh, women's. Oh, I that was just the best match. That's the best feud. That's, you know what I mean? Right. Where you'll kind of like the men will take a back seat for real.
Right.
And that's amazing. And to be honest, you got to give Triple H a lot of credit for that. Mm-hmm. Triple H, I don't know the guy at all, like, you know what I mean, whatever, obviously, but has there been a bigger advocate for female wrestling ever than Triple H? Right?
I
honestly.
Know. I don't know.
I it seems crazy to say because he was also in DX. he got married to his wife by drugging her and driving her
that's
through.
That's a little sus, but
it was
a
anyway.
Different time.
It's a different time, but anyway, okay, and okay, so whatever. That match was incredible. All right, let's talk about the frosting though for a second because it's our bread and butter, folks. Sasha's outfit was amazing, but like to say it was amazing. I thought it was a little off game for her. Mm. Like I don't mind it. I just want to point out that like it was a little Jeff Hardy for me.
Right.
During she's like the legit boss. It was a little. I was like, this does not feel like something that Sasha would wear. Small thing because she looked amazing, and she, you know, it was kind of cool. It was like kind of glow in the dark. Had like a UFO plants vibe for me.
Well, yeah, she
right?
had like
or
the
wrong.
Lime green popping off, which is very Jeff Hardy with the black and the blue.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I liked it because Bianca and her have similar wardrobe gimmicks. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it did like separate them differently. But just was pointing that out that I was a little like. Not the direction I would have went. That being said, she always looks like a million bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Bianca looks amazing, but I also think Bianca will be able to cut incredible promos when they stop, when she feels comfortable to let loose, which might be sooner rather than later. Because she crutches on the EST thing, you know?
Yeah.
It feels a lot like I know what that's like. I've performed in crutch ways where you're like, oh, if I go into this thing that I can do auto, especially like when you're like, it's comfort to be like, I'm the EST, I'm this. But I want to actually like see how this woman actually feels. And I think that she's very proficient on the mic. She's extremely articulate. Most importantly, what I think Bianca's best strength is that she has high likability, likability.
Yeah.
Charisma. So very exciting where she's headed. And what's also interesting is that Rhea is a very different but also likable champion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Rhea always irks me when she, like, whenever she speaks, I don't like the way she, not, it's not really the accent, it's just more of like, she never could be menacing. She could never give me that Roman Reigns, like, acknowledge me. You're like, right. She could never, but, look what she fucking looks like. I mean, she's a beast. So, obviously, great. Yeah.
I would prefer if she was just doing straight up black metal shrieks like Luna Vachon. That's how I want her to speak.
Right. Like there's something, she has a little bit of a Sting thing for me.
Yeah.
Where Sting is like, he looks like a mill and then he comes out and you're like, wow.
Hey folks.
Hey folks.
And he's like, hey everybody, it's Sting. Who's happy to be here at the Daily's place? Oh yeah. $18 parking, but was happy to be here anyway. Or whatever. Like it's a little bit of that for me with Rhea, but her fucking entrance. at Mania was insanely good.
Yeah.
I mean, that singer could not sing the song, but...
That band was Jabroni.
Newman, what's that about?
That band was Jabroni.
Well, Newman, I have a sus that they weren't really a band. Yeah. That it was
I have
just
a theory.
Posers.
Yeah, I think that the woman who is singing is probably the singer of a band. And
that
it
wasn't
felt,
Susan Brutality.
And it was not. No, it wasn't Bonnie Brutality. And I think that
Newman's roller derby name.
Yeah. And I think that the band that was with her was probably like the equivalent of like studio musicians. Like they probably just got like a bunch of people to play. But the charisma and the sort of like, when you look at that compared to like when Code Orange played Aleister Black in, that's an actual band. And you can tell.
Yeah, you can tell. You can tell.
The band that was on stage there was, I don't think they're a real band. And it smelled, I could smell it from a mile away.
Yeah. Yo, I was rewatching. This is random. We talked about this, but like, it is amazing when it is amazing how some. Listen, my man Dave Matthews. My man Dave sounds incredible live. Okay, whether you like his music or not, he sounds almost better than the record. It's one of his. It's one of people say about them. It's very well known. You know what I mean? I fuck it. There's like, and then like I watched the DX guys. Sing Sean in at WrestleMania 14, and that guy sounded awesome. He's like, "Yo, you think that you better?" Like he sounded just like that, like right there. Like I don't need you to sing live if you can't sound like the record. I'd rather hear the song. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if Edge's guys were there, no, the song's called Metalingus. The band's called
what are they called? Phil,
like
producer
Broken
Phil
Skull Ranch. They're called like Forever Given or something. Ever After or something. And I don't know. They retweeted us once.
Sorry, guys.
Alter Bridge.
Alter Bridge.
Thank
Ever
you.
After. It was pretty close. It was pretty close.
Pretty close.
Ever After is not a bad band name.
Yeah. It's a magic card. But so, folks. But so, oh, somebody made a Jace the Mind Sculptor. But this is a really niche cut, but that was AJ Styles because they're both wear blue and have hoods. Very nice.
I think he showed us that.
Yeah,
Jace
cool.
The Mind Cutter?
Sculptor.
Sculptor?
Close.
Oh.
Mm.
Is he related to Chris Angel Mind Freak?
Very similar vibe. Okay. Very similar vibe.
Freak.
Yeah, yeah. Mind Freak.
Freak your mind.
I actually liked that show when that was on. It was a good time. Because my boy Schnepper is huge into magic, so he would always show me clips, and I was like, this is pretty good, but yeah.
I prefer Magic the Gathering, but he's in... just magic.
You don't want
right?
gatherings of
aren't all
Chris
those
Angel fans?
Aren't all those like street magic shows kayfabe? Like everybody they have is like in on it. Like none of it's real.
Yeah.
I think it's all famously like fake. Like they have ringers that are like reacting.
I have a real love for things that I have no interest in doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a big problem for me. You guys understand. We were talking about this off the air where I have like spectator syndrome where like I can't just sit and watch something. I got to do it. You know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, so like.
It's the same reason I don't go to like before everything shut down. Like it's really hard for me to go to like a
concert.
That isn't like a huge band. Like I can't go to like a local. Yeah. I can't go to local shows anymore. I can't go to like. Because like I would just rather be on stage doing it. Like I don't. I just. Who cares?
Yeah.
Oh, we got a cat intro.
Oh, hang on.
We
got a cat alert.
Everybody. Mr. Peepers is here, folks.
Mr. Peepers.
So magic is something I have no interest in learning, so I could just watch it, so I like magic shows. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't want to be a magician in any capacity. I don't find that cool. But that being said, I think a lot of magicians, like David Blaine, he can like do those card tricks right in front of you and blow
your
fucking mind.
Well,
like,
I love David Blaine.
He's insane.
One of my guys.
Prestidigitation, card tricks, coin flippy doos, right? That shit's amazing.
Yeah.
And like, because it's like, it is all just like sleight of hand and like physical kind of technique. But when like David Copperfield makes the fucking Statue of Liberty disappear and you find out they just like turned the camera into like another part of the bay so you don't see it. It's like, that's not magic. That's not magic.
That's literally smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
Like, that's
the kind of thing that you're like, well, you, you have to see it live or it's nothing, you know?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But they do try to, like, show you people. Anyway, whatever. I don't know what where we got on this.
We're talking about magic, folks. You guys remember that guy who, like, revealed all the... remember the guy who was on Fox who had the show where he showed you how magic was done?
Oh, yeah. Valentino.
Like, here's how you make a tiger disappear.
Yeah.
You hold a mirror in front of it.
Sleight of hand detour. So. Yeah. Everybody.
Speaking of magic, Bray Wyatt... The Fiend versus Randy Orton.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about that quick. The last thing I just wanted to say about the Bianca match was just that the whip was awesome.
Oh my God.
She critted with that
crazy
whip shot.
But I'm really hoping Sasha is like, yo, you fucking used a foreign object and they do a hair match or something, right?
The sound of
like,
that
I'm gonna
was
chop
insane.
Your hair off. That was crazy. Sasha's the fucking man. My only beef with Sasha is like when she tries like... I don't need homages to Eddie Guerrero every fucking time. We gotta do so Frog Splash isn't that great. Anyway, whatever, it's small. Okay. Yeah. So this Fiend Bray Wyatt thing. I mean, most people I talked to did not like this.
Because
like
they're I don't want to launch right into my fucking diatribe, but I'm gonna like
go.
Like okay, so people have been
we forgot how fire the song is, right?
Which one? I can't hear it.
You can't hear?
The Fiend song.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
You can't hear?
No.
That's weird.
I can
hear
it.
That's Code Orange. That's Code Orange again. We'll fix it in post.
The soundboard got its Moderna vaccine today.
Well, folks.
Yeah, it sounds like...
Wow, that's weird. All right, something's going on.
Anyway.
It's fine, folks.
But,
I'm feeling better just from doing the pod, but I'm clearly going to crash after this and watch a little Dwight Schrute coming at you, everybody.
Dwight Schrute.
Guy's got a bad attitude.
I don't understand the sort of obsession with the payoff, right? Like, this is... I get it if you are not interested at all in the Fiend versus whoever. I get it if you're just not interested, right? So you would just want this to be over. That's fine. That's your prerogative. You're wrong, but that's fine. The idea, though, that this is somehow a fail or like a letdown or wasn't interesting, it boggles my mind because it did have forward movement. It set up Alexa Bliss to do something new and cool, potentially. Bray Wyatt had a promo on Raw where, like, he basically is like, things are going to get weird now, and it pushes everything forward. It had, and this dipshit, I forget his name, and I'm not even going to fucking it's something,
name,
it's like,
names.
It's like Eric Beeston, I think is his name, first and last.
Don't use real names, though.
Some dipshit like wrestling journalist, which by the way is the most asinine thing you could possibly be in the world, is for like Bleacher Report. He had the audacity to say that this match didn't even have a memorable sort of image that you'd remember forever.
That's
as if
so
Alexa
stupid.
Bliss didn't have black demon's ichor pouring from her fucking forehead in a crown of thorns. What the fuck are you talking about?
I honestly, not to sound like a coastal elite, like white knight, but like I thought I was like, oh fuck, like they gave this match to the women. Like I thought that was kind of like a cool thing that like you kind of underestimated Alexa's role in this whole thing. I thought that was kind of cool.
And
you know?
And yeah, but and to like to sit back and be like, oh, they blew it. Where's the payoff? How come we don't get a payoff? Like people are so indoctrinated to like to WWE not having any ability to tell a story that when they are telling a story, they just want it to. Where's the end? Where's the end of it? I need the end of it so that they can get back to doing nothing. Like it's such a I struggle to sort of to even put my frustration into words because they're telling a long term story for the first time in ever with a cool character. Randy Orton's killing it too. What else do you want? Do you want everything to be tied up in a neat little fucking bow and fed to you like to mix metaphors? Like it boggles my mind.
Well, I don't mind that they use Mania matches not as the end of stuff sometimes. Like that it's actually just a one piece of the story because so much of the other matches are like the end. I did feel like I do see it. Like the bottom line is what I go by is how I felt when it was happening. And when it happened, I was like, whoa, what the fuck is this? That's cool. Like, you know what I mean? And then I was like, oh, and then it was the RKO, and it was it. And I was like, oh, that was kind of cool. So I just go by that gut. Now I could sit back and go like, here's why I don't like it. I could think about it. Is it what I would have done? Probably not. No. Right. But ultimately when it happened, I dug it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think that's cool. My beef with that match is the smallest, stupidest thing is that I don't like Fiend covering his arms and neck. Because right. He has all those tattoos, and they're part of the character for me. Mm-hmm. So when he's wearing like a whole like shield military thing, I love seeing his – part of the scariness of him is seeing like his neck. He has that neck tattoo, and you're like, oh, wow, that is Bray Wyatt. And they call him the Fiend Bray Wyatt.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like in terms of that character, it's kind of like, oh, he is Bray under there. And then when I saw the Firefly Funhouse on Monday, I was like, oh, this is what's been missing for this for me in the build is that like – is Bray is like he's I like what Alexa's doing, but like without him entirely, and then they removed their most charismatic guy from the entire build.
Sure,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that, you know, I don't know. They really do like I like this angle that Alexa, and she cut the promo on Monday, which was like, yo, I didn't need him. I like, right. You know, I'll run him. And I think that's really cool that like now she's gonna be in control of him, and that's a great role for Alexa. It's a really great role for Alexa because she's going to struggle to wrestle Rhea Ripley. You know, yeah. She's tiny.
Oh, my God.
But she's an amazing actress. So you get to use her for this role. I think that's really cool. So,
and plus, yeah. She has the power of the Fiend now. So it doesn't really matter. I also want to point out something that a Jabroniac on the Facebook group mentioned. So Bray Wyatt. This is Robert Gary. Shout out to Robert Gary, who I disagree with a lot, but he has a good point here. It's whatever. So Bray Wyatt tweeted out a picture of Samson and Delilah right after that match. Robert Gary pointed out that in the story of Samson and Delilah, this is what he says. I'm just going to read it. Okay. Samson's power, right? He thought it was in his hair, but it's actually in his covenants with God. Samson was a Nazarene, and the fact that he never cut his hair was one of the signs of the covenant he made to become a Nazarene. When he cuts his hair, it isn't that he loses faith, it's that he breaks his covenant with God. Therefore, he loses his power. And in the end, he's given the chance to redeem himself by sacrificing his life to destroy the temple of a false god. Now, Bray Wyatt didn't tweet that picture out randomly, right? So I think that gives a cool little insight into where this might be going, happened.
One of a kind, not to, you know, step on Hall of Famer or RVD, but
yeah.
Bray is one of a kind in that way. I mean, he, and you know, God, I had a whole thought the other day. I was talking to Skylar, or a friend of the show, Skylar Astin, and I was like, Vince does a lot wrong. Like he, some of his actions are like indefensible. So I'm not at all saying like Vince is great, I'm defending Vince, blah blah blah. Like there is a weird thing where the second he goes like, "Welcome to WrestleMania," I love him. I could cry and forgive him like immediately. Right. Like, you know what I mean? For giving me this amazing wrestling thing, you know. But he is pretty good, it seems, at giving the wrestlers who need creative freedom that freedom. Like, not all of them, but there are some. I always point to Jon Moxley as my example, where I'm kind of like, I get why he was like, I need to write for this guy. He's right. A little rambly for network television. You know what I mean? It's like, he's a little. But then if you look at guys like Seth or like Randy or Bray, there's a couple guys he does give them like full, you know, they kind of do a lot of cool shit that you're like, they must have a lot of say in this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes he gets it wrong because, to be honest, I would give all wrestlers freedom because I think you only do better that way. Not freedom to an extent, obviously, but I would hear all of their ideas and be open to all ideas, especially things that get my talent excited. That would be like, that would be the place that I would lean.
Right.
But he is not terrible at letting wrestlers do their thing. Like Bray. Bray had this incredible quote on his Twitter. Maybe he took it down because he's like kind of changed gimmicks since. But it says revenge is a confession of pain. Mm. That's his Twitter bio. That's the only thing it says.
Interesting.
the guy's so metal. I mean, Newman, you have to adore him, you know?
Yes.
It's a bummer we really don't get to see, like, I would love a 365 of Bray, and I don't even care if he breaks character. Like, I would love to see his creative process. You know what I mean?
You never get that, like, behind-the-scenes juice.
No, you get, like, Kevin Owens or the guys it's, like, kind of safe to do it from, you know?
Right.
But, like, I want to see the genesis of the puppets and stuff. And
well, he has that thing where, like, it's a lot like an improv. When you get a performer who realizes that, like, oh, this medium, you can do anything. Right. And really embraces that and then really has fun with that. It's like he's obviously figured out that, like, I can do anything as long as it makes not as long as it makes sense, but as long as it's interesting. Right. Mm-hmm. And he's just like fully in that mode all the time. So he's like testing. He's able to play with and test the boundaries of like what wrestling is in a really cool way.
Totally. We got to talk about Cesaro quick, because if you remember on the podcast, I was saying that Cesaro should go against Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the stars have aligned for Cesaro to be the guy to come out and challenge Roman right now. He doesn't need to win, but it does elevate Cesaro to feud with Roman, and we saw what he could do. I mean, he absolutely destroyed at Mania. And kudos to Seth Rollins for making Cesaro look like $1 million.
That no-hand spin.
I mean, that thing is so crazy.
That was crazy. That's a full man. No hands.
Yeah.
I know. He used to do that, I believe, on the indies when he was like Claudio or whatever. Like,
yeah, but I mean, too, that type of shit is why Cesaro, you could put him in like 1950.
Yeah.
And he'd be you wouldn't have to fit right in. No.
Yeah, his look, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
time traveling Cesaro.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want time, Cesaro time freak.
Any other I mean, like, I don't know. I don't really have that much to say about the McIntyre-Lashley match. I think it was, you know, they were like, let's just fucking go all in on Lashley. I got no problem with that. It's not, you know, he's not one of my guys or anything. And they're clearly just going to keep the feud Drew-Lashley going, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone's going to care about this feud, even, you know, you know, it's going to be what it is. But we'll see where it goes. So... anything else Mania that we need to talk about? Because I want to talk about something else quick to end it out. Because I talked about every other match on the other pod. No, man, we covered all the main stuff. Okay, I watched Broken Skull Jericho. So Jericho's on with Stone Cold. Pretty interesting. Definitely worth to watch. Jericho is great. Interesting enough, it went right into the Randy Orton one, which I thought was actually better. Randy Orton Broken Skull sessions, I guess I never saw. I didn't realize how Randy and Stone Cold had never really crossed paths before. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good. But Jericho talks about like the Festival of Friendship. And like he talks about... it's pretty interesting. He's just talking about how he kind of got frustrated at WWE, where he was like, you get an insight into the kind of the fight you get over there, which sounds fucking exhausting. So he showed up to the day they were supposed to do that Festival of Friendship segment, and he was telling the story about how the producers there were like, Vince isn't here, we're going to change it because it's too jokey or something, essentially. Some version of that. We're like, we're going to change it. He's like, no, we're doing it. He's like, yo, it's not stupid. It's how we sell it. You know, and he literally points out Groundlings. He's like, Jericho, you know, Jericho, it's interesting. The producers of the segment, he's on such another level than the people he's speaking to, it seems like, where he's like, I'm going to sell it just like I sold this list thing. Isn't the list stupid?
Right.
You know what I mean? And he's like, it's just like, I'm going to come out, do it. And his whole influence was like Dead David Lee Roth. What's that song? They're like, I ain't got nobody or whatever. You know what
Gigolo.
I mean? Like, right? Yeah. And he has that Vegas hat, but you know. But he's like, oh, Vince isn't here, so they're like, no, we're gonna change it. And then he texts. They're like, Vince is on the plane. You're not gonna be able to touch him. He texts Vince. He's like, we're doing it the same. And then Vince is like, yes. Can you imagine? Like, he's like, I have this fucking. I'm the best.
As if Vince wouldn't pay for Wi-Fi on the plane.
right.
Vince was like, we're doing it as we discussed. Keep it the same. You know.
Yeah.
But you're still Jericho, who's the most proven guy in wrestling, and you still got these guys telling you your segment's bad?
Right.
Can you imagine the arrogance to go up to Chris Jericho, who's almost done nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he was just like, and then Yikata was just like, yeah, then once I started getting to, he's like, I started wrestling in New Japan, and it was just like, it was too fun. It made me like wrestling again. He was like, he literally had a line where he was like, working with, I guess, maybe Kenny or Naito in the back, and he's like, who do we got to run this by? They're like, what are you talking about?
Run it by.
Wow.
They're like, what are you saying? Like, they didn't even know what he was talking about. It was pretty interesting. Huh. Definitely worth a watch, but it's not explosive like you'd hope. You don't get – they do edit it. You can see they do these weird fade edits where you're like, what happened in between here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that was good. And then the Randy one is Randy, I don't know. Randy's just – I don't know. I love the guy. That's a great one. So anyway, these Broken Skulls, it's just interesting because, Stone Cold is definitely the worst – he's a really interesting interviewer, but the thing about that Stone Cold that like always works is that he loves wrestling.
Right.
You always feel how much when they show clips, he's like a little kid watching those clips. He's just like, look at that. You know, he's like, look at that right there. Can we back that up? You know what I mean? He's like, can we back that up? That's a drop kick. It's a hell of a drop kick or whatever. You know, like it's very fun. Jericho is so fucking cocky. Like he lives the gimmick. You know.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, what? He's like, would you say you're like have the best run, one of the best runs of all time? And he's like, yes. And he is right. And he's like, part of his reasoning is that like with what where we're at nowadays, you can't do what I did. You can't wrestle for all these different companies and blah blah blah. So you're like, you can't actually do what I did. So it's less interesting. Anyway, worth a watch. Recommend it. And the Randy one is worth watching also. I think they're doing some really interesting stuff there. I kind of got bored of the Broken Skulls because something about Undertaker that doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
Right?
Like yeah. Steve and Mark sitting around talking about
yeah.
It's not Taker, a must-see.
Yeah,
the funniest part of that one was when he was like, he's like Stone Cold's like, oh, you got your own wine. And he's like, and Mark and the Undertaker was almost like, I do. No idea. Oh, I guess I got my own wine. Like he had no idea.
Oh, Mark.
Oh, my God. All right. Just a couple small points about WrestleMania that I just want to bring up that I missed. Just small things. Is that Sheamus kick to Riddle was sick.
Oof.
And
they replayed it, I think, 4 times.
I think that's one of those moments where like Riddle lost the match but won the match. You know what I mean? Like
on
that's
Instagram.
A match of-
did you see him on Instagram?
No,
Riddle's like he's like I got my ass kicked this weekend.
I know it's so weird because I'm like love it. Even on Raw, I thought he was like yeah, like I don't. I'm digging his whole routine. It's fun. It's like I don't know when it comes on, I like him. Good for him. He's having kind of that like I don't know like Sammy also. There's two guys who are like they're I don't care if they have titles or not. They're kind of just fun when you see him on the show. Cool. Apollo Crews beat Big E. Which was interesting. I thought Big E would retain, but I guess they're going to keep that going. Also, it is Apollo Crews. Dabakato had to interrupt. We'll see where we go with that. Almost. Last thing I'm going to talk about is Almost. A lot of talk about Almost. People have really high hope for Almost. You know? I'm interested to see. He is fucking huge. You know?
I think that's why. It's just because like you don't get a guy who's that big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Often.
Do you think this guy could be like the heavyweight champ? Are you feeling it? People are feeling it, man.
I mean, that's taking it a little too far. Like, let's go like baby steps first.
Yeah,
like,
we'll see.
Maybe can he wrestle?
All right, we'll see. We will see. All right, last thing I'll say is I was watching the Raw, and then they random thing about Raw. They got what's it? Retribution going to team up with Lashley?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
They know how to ice Lashley. I mean, unbelievable. They had Baron Corbin come in. They know how to just make sure that Lashley gets no heat, you know?
T-Bar and Slapjack.
Yeah, Slapjack.
Coming T-bar. To his rescue.
Yeah. Then Miz and Mrs. started, and I had like a little bit of it recorded. And I'll end the recording hit, and I was like, oh, damn, I was enjoying that.
Oh, Miz and Mrs. rocks.
You watch it?
Yeah. I DVR it, and then I'll binge watch a couple episodes here and there.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, guys, let's get out of here. Another WrestleMania, many would say down the drain. Really interesting how WrestleMania is. It's in the zone where I think we should just start. My main takeaway is we should start expecting no lead ups to WrestleManias. I don't think that's where Vince, how Vince rolls anymore. You know, right. These stories are going to be loose as a goose. But the moment, what we are cheering for is that it's WrestleMania. You know what I mean? And maybe it's enough. It felt like enough this time because the talent are so good. Do you guys think we should stick with two nights?
No, I like one night. I'm fine with one night.
You like it one night?
One night's good.
I have this feeling they're going to stick with two. It's just more money to be made, right?
I think they're going
to
stick with it too,
yeah. And then also what really worked was the two main events. Like, no one is saying, oh, they main evented night one. They're like, they main evented. Like, there's that. Yeah. They kind of work people in that way, you know? So
yeah. Well, I mean, the way they did it, it's fine. Like, one night didn't feel more important than the other, I don't
know. No, because night one was better.
Yeah.
Like, significantly better than night two. Most people would say. So many and most
many
would
say.
Many
people are saying, yeah.
All right, let's get out of here. I'm starting to fucking feel the Moderna, feel the heat. I'll just say this, guys. Check out Calmania 3 right now. A lot of hard work went into that match, and I put my personal feelings aside. But go on YouTube, hit subscribe, share it. I don't care how many followers you have. If you dig what we have and you got 2 followers, post it, share it. Like, that goes a long way. And also it helps us. We repost you guys, and if you like what you see and you want more of what we do, support it in the smallest ways you can, which is patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Give us a couple bucks each month, because everything we do is funded by you guys there. And also, you know, me recklessly spending on stuff. And then also go and subscribe to our YouTube and share and everything. Follow Cow Podcast, COW Podcast, on Instagram and social media. And Aaron, next week, why don't we give the date of the Cow Movie Club, which will be coming back?
I think so. Let's see. Today's the 14th. I think we're looking at maybe Tuesday, April 20th, 4:20. Season premiere of Cow Episode Season 3, See No Evil 2. Now available on official Cow Movie Club streaming platform Tubi.
I remember legitimately enjoying See No Evil 1.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, See No Evil 1 was good. You want to watch See No Evil 2 with us? It's definitely good.
Tubi.
It's on Tubi, which is one of my guys. Everybody.
When are you recording that up?
Probably sometime next week.
Okay. Yeah, Monday or Tuesday.
All right, everybody.
420 people.
All right, I got to go crash on the couch and watch this. I got to watch this.
Is that next week?
Yeah, that's next week.
Holy shit.
Oh shit, man. You want to do 420 yet, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Okay. Everybody, I'm starting to fade. Get vaccinated if you want. I don't know.
I'll do the 420 yep, Dan, if you break out the pen again.
Oh god, the WrestleMania pen.
You guys are gonna smoke my weed pen?
Yeah. It's 420. You have to. It's against the law not to.
I don't know about the weed pens, okay, right? It's like they get clogged. So I'll be hitting them, and then I'm like, it's clogged. I don't have any kind of skills to like
clog.
I have a tip for you.
Okay.
No, go ahead. What's your tip?
Oh, my tip is just you have to heat it up before you hit it. So like hold down the button for a minute, maybe like for like 15 seconds or so. It'll heat up the juice in there. And then when you tip it like back and forth like this, you can see the liquid moving around. That's when it's soluble and you're going to get a good rip off that.
My
tip is to like... Weed. You give it like, so when it gets clogged like that, it's because there's like an air bubble or something in the little intake by the atomizer. And so you have to just give it like, you don't inhale it. You give it like a, you know what I mean? Like you like kind of like,
you smooch
like
it.
You pull into your mouth, not into your lungs, but into your mouth so that it like just kind of clears that bubble and then you're good to hit it.
And that'll be easier to do if you heat it up, make it a little more syrupy in there.
All right, I'll try that. But I only smoked the pen in the Calzoom Thunderdome. all right, I gotta go. I gotta watch this the show The Office. It's very good, tremendously good. And that's on Peacock, official streaming service of the WWE.
I'll have to
by the way,
check that out.
We didn't even talk about how Peacock really needs some work. It needs some work. It needs some work.
Stinks on ice.
It needs some work. It needs some work, folks. All right, hey everybody, thanks for listening and keep watching wrestling. Kisses.